me. Sorry. Do you speak English?
No, I don't. Sorry.
Welcome to the Easy English Podcast. Today, we're sort of catching up with some requests of things that you've sent us in. We wanted to cover a topic which one of our members of Easy English, Marketa, one of our longest standing, dearest members, requested us to do a topic comparing our childhoods from the perspective of growing up in the UK to growing up in Germany.
That's a good topic.
Which is interesting. And they mentioned school and birthday parties specifically.
Perfect. I mean, obviously the kindergarten school system is different. I think that should not be part of it, though. That could be an own topic. What is the difference? I would say in general, the upbringing in both our countries are similar. Like there's definitely countries where we would find bigger differences.
It's hard to compare a little bit because you grew up in a 300,000 city and I grew up in a 30,000 town.
Yeah, you're the
basically
village boy.
I'm the cauliflower-eared village boy.
Why cauliflower? Yeah, that's only rugby playing, isn't it? And you didn't play rugby. Anyway, yeah. So when did you go to any institution?
What does that mean?
When did you leave home to be somewhere for a few hours a day?
Yeah, we had a play school. The order it goes is play school, infant school, junior school, secondary school, college, university. If you were to see it all through.
Okay.
So play school would have been it. And that's like, funnily enough, where I grew up, all the schools were in a long row. So the first would be the play school, which is like an old church, which would be for a few hours in the day just to, I don't know, make pizza, do that like thing.
Pizza? You learn pizza with like two or what?
I remember making pizza one time and like another thing was, this sounds like I grew up in the Victorian era, cut a potato in half or cut into shapes as well.
Potato stems.
Potato stems.
Oh, I did that too. That's already a great example.
How old school does that sound?
But isn't it amazing as well?
It's clever. You cut a shape out of a new potato, and then you like a star shape, let's say, because a potato is pretty versatile when you cut it, and then you dip it in just some red paint, and then you.
Sad about the potato that you have to throw away, but it's a nice creative thing to do.
Kids probably did eat them while they're doing it. I imagine that's just the nature of kids.
Yeah. So that's actually, I think, more what Marketa wants to hear than the school system and stuff. But just to compare, I went to kindergarten.
Oh, yeah.
Quite late, though. It was like 3 or 4, maybe even 4. Then with 6, you go to primary school until 10, 11.
Ah, okay.
And then with 10, 11, you go to secondary school until you're 18, 19.
Ah, okay.
So 3 steps.
And then university, if you want to.
Yeah.
Okay, only 3. Whereas I had 5 before university.
Yeah, I would say I grew up quite well kept in a very well kept town as well. Quite privileged. Like, it was all very safe and lovely. My kindergarten, my school weren't far away. And my best friend lived opposite of me. So we were always playing in the streets. So yeah, it's like a kind of, we say in German, Bilderbuch Kindheit, like from the books, you know, like a fairy tale-y childhood kind of.
I say.
Like how you would describe a childhood. Not that everything was perfect, but yeah, it was very much a very good upbringing in a very nice city for sure.
We were more like, not bad. It wasn't bad, but but it was all about bikes, football, and the rule was always back before the sun's down. But my memory of growing up there would be those like days where like sort of autumnal days, barbecue days, and you'd be out on your bike because behind our house was like a big mud track. You'd go out on your bike and everyone would have their key around their neck on like some sort of like lanyard. Yeah. And you'd be like, the sun's going down, quick.
not for dinner time.
We're going to get in trouble.
Or would you eat dinner out with your friends?
Everyone would sort of disappear at different times, depending on their dinner time, and then they'd come meet you. And because it was before really mobile phones were like a big thing, you'd always just cycle around and you just look for a big bundle of bicycles somewhere. And that's where my mates are. You just have to cycle until you see saw 8-9 bikes all stacked up on each other in someone's front garden. Ah, they're here.
I mean, we were all about playing in the streets, really. We did a lot of things. We were lucky because our street is a dead-end street.
It's a close.
What is a dead-end then?
Yeah, a dead-end is like the end is where the road finishes and becomes just a wall or bushes or whatever.
It's not even a dead-end. You can cycle or walk, actually.
But if it was in a residential street, it'd be called a close.
So it's a close. Like cars can only go one way. Well, they can go both ways, but they cannot go through the street to another street. Yeah. They can go to the end and turn around.
Yeah.
Actually, cycling and walking, you can go into another street at the end because there's a little pathway. But the good thing was there was not much traffic. People anyway go slow there. So we could build all the stuff on the streets. I mean, even compared to nowadays, you know this street because my parents still live there. There is now much more traffic there, much more cars standing around. I can only remember that there were no cars, really. Like, people had their cars in the driveway, and we were, I mean, sometimes there were cars, obviously, but we did, in winter, when there was real snow still, we built igloos.
Wow, what?
Snow fights. We built real igloos. Quite dangerous, I think. we had, we made different, igloos to have, we call it a fort.
That's the whole point of snow, isn't it? To use it as weaponry.
And because my best friend lived on the opposite of the street and Kari's best friend also, which is her brother, we all were in the streets always. And there were also other kids around that we are still friends with from the same street or other streets around. So we'd all meet there. We would do skate. We would build our own skate park. So some kids did inline skating or roller skating or skateboards. So we did this. But also we did bike races. I've won here. One of my, which one is from, which of my scars is from what accident?
Ah, that's what you're doing. So you're picking your nose while telling a story.
No, I'm just imagining what was from what. I know. This was this. They were all not from that one. All the three that I now found.
Oh, my God.
But I did once, a bike race down the street.
Yeah.
And then the stupid going into the brakes and because a car came and I fell completely over the
handlebars.
On the shin. Isn't that a typical kids thing to do?
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, what I wanted to say is it sounds all very old school to people growing up now with all the digital possibilities, but we just were a lot outdoors. And I think it's amazing for children nowadays with digital stuff or not to be outside and to do those things because, all that stuff, climbing into trees, building race courses, skate parks, igloos. We even, back then, we had such heavy winters, we played ice hockey in the park,
Really? The lake?
Yeah, on the lake. Or bloody river hell. Lake, yeah. We played ice hockey there. That's we crazy. Played baseball in the park. You know, all those kind of things that are so much fun.
Yeah.
We had everything in the basement. We could make a summer of fun. This. Okay. You should see Mitch's eye. Hey, that is fun.
Good choice of words.
Oh, but it is fun.
But isn't it such a contrast how in 20 years... I remember our parents having to be like, get back inside. Get inside now. Do you know what I mean? You're desperate to get outside. And in 20 years' time, now parents are like,
come on, go outside.
Get outside.
Yeah. Fresh air. Yeah, I find this a bit sad. Not that I don't really celebrate what opportunities we have today. I mean, it's our job, digital media, basically. But I'm actually quite happy that it wasn't existing back then. And I hope that, I think the trend goes back to people
still
appreciating the outdoors more.
I don't know.
For us, it's so important even now, and we work on the laptop all day long. If we are not in nature every day, we it's really like a plant.
That's true.
Like our blossom is.
That is true.
Where, how do you call it when a plant does this?
Dying.
No, not dying. if it doesn't have enough water, getting crinkly, I would say.
Yeah, it becomes all wrinkly. Yeah, it starts to die. I just have this, I now think about it more, now we're going into it. I just have these amazing memories of, we had one park near us, and it was behind my parents' house, basically, like a 5-minute walk. And it's where our town was super boring. And if you were not of age to go drinking, you would just basically go to the park.
If you couldn't drink.
Yeah, yeah. So I'd go to the park with my friend Aaron, my best mate, or with like a few others. And you'd go to the park. And in that time, other people would come to the park who were like, some persons would be like 15, 16, 17 years old on their their dirt bikes, probably smoking weed, drinking booze. And you'd have this weird group of people who were like, the things you'd see and like the stories you'd hear from people who were 10 years older than you maybe. And it was just...
And you would think like, I never will do those things. And then suddenly you're in the group.
Yeah. And like all
later,
these like...
10 years later.
All these stories of things which parents nowadays are very terrified of their kids' experience. I remember like one guy shooting someone's tire with a crossbow or something and blowing their tire up.
What is a crossbow?
Like an arrow, but one that you fire like a gun.
Ugh.
And he shot the tire
bike, that's not good.
My friend Aaron got hit in the face by a big kite, big steel-framed kite in the face.
Ooh.
There's all these like mad things that would happen, mm-hmm. and like bones broken, cuts, mm-hmm. bruises,
mm-hmm.
offensive language, things mm-hmm. that you just don't, I don't things think that, happen anymore.
No, which is in lots of parts good. You know what? I can already tell you one thing, Mitch. I don't know how long we record now, 10 minutes at least. This is actually another series because now we actually went pretty much into games. Can you write down, Mr. Butch? Birthday should be in own podcast because it's just otherwise we just scratch the surface.
Yeah.
Game wise, did you know the game? I don't know how it's called in English. Obviously, it's about like there were some burglars or robbers, and then the police, and you were in either one group.
Cops and robbers, no?
Cops and robbers, Räuber and Gendarme. In
Gendarme.
Yeah.
Wow. French police specifically. Is that not the
I don't
French
know
police?
Why. We did this often with a whole group of friends, also different ages.
Funny.
And it was fun. Obviously, as a robber, you need to hide somewhere. You get a minute to run away and and go to hide. I think that's how it worked. And then there was a police station as well where you got we had one house that had a good fence where you could actually
lock them up.
Also, some real accidents happened while we played that, trying to get over fences and stuff.
God, yeah.
I know one got once cut. You know those fences that have
the barbed wire
spikes on the top.
God, like, whose house is that? Why a barbed wire?
No, not the house. It was from this this park that we have behind the garden. You know,
there's barbed wire there.
Yeah, I don't know.
Jesus.
In a hatch, though, so you couldn't really... I don't know how that worked, but
horrible.
Definitely the skin was very open to the bone. You know, things that, as a kid, that don't seem that big. You know, you have those accidents and you're like, everyone is just anyway telling you, it's just blood, whatever.
And also, you don't know, because when you're a kid, you don't know whether you saw it or if you heard it and think you saw it, or if you saw it, you made it out to be bigger or made it out to be less, not as big. So many of those.
Yeah, that's true.
Like questionable stories, if they really happened or not.
Did they really happen?
Did you ever play Conkers? Those from an oak tree. An oak tree?
Oh.
No, not oak tree.
I saw.
A horse chestnut tree. A chestnut tree.
Well, we built stuff out of them, but what did you play with it? Ah, yeah, you told me that you had a game with it.
In England, it's a huge thing where you get your... typically dad, to drill a hole through them. You find the biggest conker, not even the biggest, but usually a big one, size of, I don't know, a kiwi fruit, kind of. And you drill a little hole in the middle, and you put a piece of string all the way through it and tie a big knot at the end. And you have something like half a meter long string and then a conker at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone would go to school with their own.
Mm-hmm.
And there'd be a competition, a bit like the Hunger Games. Not like the Hunger Games, that's a bit too dramatic. But you would challenge each other to conquer fight.
So your conkers have to
you'd hold,
smash it?
You'd hold your conker if you were the recipient of the conquer fight, you'd hold your conquer vertically, so it's hanging at the bottom, and the other person would like try to smash it as hard as they could.
With their conquer.
With their conquer.
Ah, and which one breaks is the...
Yeah, and then you would then count your victories, and then your conquer would have like a ranking system.
So it's also a bit about how well you drilled it.
Yeah, and people would do... There would be like rituals that people would leave theirs overnight after a day of conquer fights, the night after, leave it in like a cup of vinegar or put it in the airing cupboard.
To strengthen it.
Yeah, to strengthen it. Or like nail varnish.
Yeah, that's good.
On it, or just like...
Yeah, yeah.
Because after time, it can become quite soft.
So if it once breaks, then you lost, but you then make a new one.
You have to make a new one, but that's a lot of effort, and you have to wait till your dad gets back home from work so you can drill a new hole in your one.
It's a cool game. I like that. We only like build stuff out of them, like, you know, little dolls, something like that. Okay, childhood games. I'm pretty sure after this podcast, I will have to maybe talk again about childhood games.
Yeah.
Unhelpful advice.
Today we have a question. I think someone's left us quite a long message, and it's from someone called Georgia. Hello, here's my voice message from a freezing St. Petersburg. Hope you're doing fine and looking forward to new episodes.
Hi guys, I'm Georgia from St. Petersburg, and I am outside in a freezing weather, so you might hear some snow creaking beneath my feet. I have just finished reading this notorious book about Princess Diana, and I've also finished watching the last episode of the last series, last season of The Crown, and I was wondering if you could tell us about the role that the monarchy still plays in your society, whether your generation is still in any way, I don't know, not interested, but in any way concerned, maybe, with the royal family, what you think their future might be. So, yeah, mostly if you could expand on that topic, I would really appreciate, because I would love a sort of an insider outlook. Yeah. From what I know here, we were certainly enamored with Diana, that I can still remember from my childhood. For the late queen, I think we did have some respect, but I have no idea what we think about, I mean, we as a nation think about King Charles. We call him Karl, according to our tradition. And yeah, I don't follow the news, so I have no idea about that. If you could tell us, share with us some of your thoughts, that would be great. And thank you for your podcasts. I mean, I have come to realize, I have realized that I really learn things from your podcast. It's not just a chit chat. Yeah. And I do love those episodes when you compare cultures, when you talk about Germany versus the UK, similarities, contrasts. That's what I enjoy the most. So yeah, thank you and bye bye.
What a lovely message. Hello, Georgia. We're glad that you like the podcast. I have to say, this is, I think, another episode that we have to do.
It might have to be.
Yeah.
It's a big one.
I think we do that.
Do we speak about the royal family in any of them before?
We did an episode about them. We did talk about them sometimes. And I just remember that our very first podcast we did long ago as a test episode and never put out there.
Oh, yeah.
Was with Kari on the Royal Family. We also did a watch live with Kari. What was that?
On YouTube.
What happened there?
It was the coronation.
Mm-mm.
No?
Mm-mm.
No, it wasn't the coronation. What the hell?
Jubilee?
It was the Jubilee.
Of the Queen. Yeah. 70 or 75? God.
75.
So, yeah, we have two episodes on the Royal Family. I think once we asked people about them and once we did a live watching with Kari from Easy German. Anyway, now is the question if we do that again, because I think that Kari, also as a fan of The Crown, actually would be good to be here because she knows much more than us.
Yeah.
Or than me, anyway. Probably not. I mean, you obviously know everything about your monarchy, don't you?
Well, you say that. I really don't. Every time we go to Germany, everyone asks that. So how's Charles doing this? And I always feel like other people know way more.
Yeah. Germans are kind of fascinated by the monarchy, I think. Why are they here? How are they helping the country or not helping the country? How are they involved with politics? Are they even involved with politics? Those kind of questions are obviously discussed on a regular basis in society, and that we could talk about. And the fascination of it, because it is odd. But there's also so much more to the monarchy, alone that everything is in the name of His Majesty, for example. Those kind of things are a very big cultural aspect. The post office, the Royal Mail, everything is in the name of monarchy. The king stands above a lot of things. And people know about the monarchy, but they don't know how in everyday life the monarchy actually faces you all the time. You don't even notice it. If you would really look into things, you have all everywhere, really, the monarchy in it. So I think to talk about those topics, we should do our own episode. Maybe in the meantime, you want to watch our YouTube videos, our two episodes about it.
Nice crunchy snow sound as well. That was really...
Yeah, I only said, did you hear me? I only said, snow!
Yeah, that made me feel really cozy.
No, we don't have snow here ever.
No, never that crunch.
Mm-mm.
Never.
Did we have snow here at all this year? This winter? Winter comes to an end now.
It did snow, but...
Yeah, for 20 minutes once and not much, and it didn't stay. That was it. Thank you, Georgia. Really, really lovely. We also really like to compare, as you could listen today, to our childhoods.
Yeah. So, Georgia, we will... Hopefully, we didn't really answer your question much, but...
We will answer it
today. But we will actually maybe make a purpose-made episode about the influence of the monarchy nowadays.
Okay. Thank you, bye. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. Ta-ra.
Bye.